The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
With the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread right around the corner, and as all of us certainly understand that we are to be examining ourselves, would you please allow me to ask at this point in the sermon a couple of questions? Question number one is, if you died today, what would stop for you? Now, when you get over the shock of the first question, let's move on to the second question. And question number two is, if you do not die today, and that's certainly what we hope that none of us do, but if you do not die today, what would continue for you? I think these questions are both awkward and vague for us to consider and for us to try and answer. However, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us to continue on as we consider them in regards to this topic of examining ourselves. Now, with these thoughts and with these two questions in mind, I'd like to ask you to please go with me to read some of the words of King David. Maybe, just maybe, King David's thoughts can help us move on in a good direction in self-examination. So please go with me to the book of Psalm 88. Psalm 88, and we will begin reading in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, "Mine eye mourns by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands unto you." Verse 10, "Will you show wonders to the dead?" In other words, somebody's dead. Are you going to show them wonders? This is a question he asked. "Shall the dead arise and praise you?" Think about it. Selah. Verse 11, "Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark?" We know that it says the dead know not anything. And so, and David understood these are thought-provoking questions. And he ends this particular section in verse 12 there, and he says, "And your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" From David's thoughts and the questions, I think that we can begin to ask ourselves other questions that might help us in our self-examination. So I'd like for us to look at some of David's questions and thoughts from these verses here in Psalm 88 with these in mind and consider some of these verses and put them into our own questions and use them for self-examination. Remember our first opening's questions were, if you were dead, what would stop? And if you don't die and you continue, what's going to continue? Now, if you think about those along the lines of self-examination, and then you think about these verses, and we're going to put them in forms of questions and points, then I think that you can see right off where we're going to go. The first question that I want us to consider here is, do we call daily upon God? Remember, we're using this for self-examination. We're alive, thank God. We're not in the grave, where there are no thoughts, where everything has ceased. We know there is the resurrection. I'm not dealing with that part at all. This is not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the fact that we're not dead, we're not in the grave, we're alive, and what is going to continue because we are alive? And the first thing that I want us to ask with these verses of David in mind here is, as David says, I call upon you daily. Do we? Do we call upon God daily? Verse 9 says, "Mine eye mourns by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands unto you." Can we, honest before God and honest before ourselves, answer, yes, that's what we do? Remember, hard look at ourselves, examining ourselves for the Passover. And please understand from the very beginning, as we go through and we ask these questions, if we answer yes, that's awesome. If we say, well, no, then we can change. How can we change this? Because we're alive. Because we're above ground. We're not in the ground where we can't do any of these things. Go with me now to Psalm 100, verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." So I have a thought on this and a question in regards to this. Do we do this? Do we call upon God daily? Do we sing to God? That's an awesome thought to think about. Can the dead sing to God? No. Can the living sing to God? Absolutely. It's thought. It's something to think about. And I want us to move on now to question number two, still based upon these verses that we read here in Psalm 88. Question number two is, are we a witness to God's wonders? That's verse 10. Will you show wonders to the dead? The implication is from David, if you continue my life, I'm going to continue to show your wonders. I'm going to continue to show and talk about your great wonders. My question is, are we a witness of the great wonders of God? And Psalm, let's go to Psalm chapter 9 and verse 1. Psalm 9 and verse 1. "I will bless you, O Lord, with my whole heart." The dead can't do that. Only the living can do that. "I will show forth all your marvelous works." Same word as wonders. Verse 11, drop down to verse 11. It says, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion." Zion, I've told you many times before, one of the significant meanings of this word, uses of this word, is the church. Verse 11, "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings," or his wonders. So we're instructed, we are to declare. We are to speak of. We are to be witnesses to the wonders of God. Psalm 77. Let's go to verse 11. Psalm 77, verse 11. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your works of old." In the days of unleavened bread, one of those times that we spend significant amount of time on the wonders of old, the things that he has accomplished in times past. He brought Israel out of Egypt. There are lessons that we learn from that. We focus on that. But make it personal. Do you individually, do you focus on that? You know, we're alive. We can. Do we? See, that's the point. Do we do these things? Verse 12. "I will meditate also on all your work and talk of your doings." Okay, remembering these things and reading about these wonders of God from old is one thing, but talking about them is something else. Do we do that? You see, in the grave, this can't be done. That's what he tells us over here in this verse. That's what he tells us back in Psalm 88 in verse 10. "Will you show wonders to the dead?" And the answer is no, they're dead. But to the living he does. And then to the living, what we also see from here in Psalm 77 is that, "I will meditate on your work and I will talk of your doings. Your way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Is there any other God that's greater than our God? There is no other God but our God. Verse 14, "You are the God that does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people." It's through these things, it's through understanding the awesomeness of God, the works that he has done, the work he is doing, the work he is yet going to do, the wonders that he has accomplished, the wonders that he is accomplishing today, and the wonders that we can read about prophetically that he's yet going to do. We can focus on those things, and as a result of that, we see more and more and more of the strength of this great God that we worship. Do we think about this in this way as we examine ourselves? Verse 15, "You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." How much time, how often do we focus on that, of this incredible wonder of God that he has declared his arm to be around these people, the people of God, of whom we are part. The third question that I want us to consider, going back to Psalm 88, this third question here is, do we rise up and praise God? Verse 10, that's what it says. Shall the dead arise and praise you? And the answer is no, because he's not speaking about there is going to be the resurrection of the dead. Yes, that is going to happen, but in the context of Psalm 88, that's not what David is focusing on. What he is saying is there's a difference between those who are alive and those who are dead. That's what he's focusing. That's the comparison here. He is not addressing that there's not going to be a resurrection. That's not his subject here in Psalm 88. And so the question we ask is, do we rise up and do we praise God because we have this opportunity to do so? Let's go to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. Let's begin in verse 2. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. Psalm 99, verse 2, it says, the Lord is great in Zion. Again, could be speaking about the Jerusalem area, could be talking about that, or it could be talking again about the church. Is he great in Zion? Is he great in the church? Oh, absolutely. And he is high above all the people. Verse 3, let all the people, all of what people? The people that are part of Zion. I.e., the people that are part of the church, let them praise your great and wonderful name because it is holy. God is not just a being, he is holy. He is holy. The dead cannot recognize that. It's only the living that can focus on the fact that this great being is holy, that he is so wonderful, that he is so special, that he is so great. And as it says, and terrible name, it means wonderful, it means awesome, it means beyond any kind of description that we can think of in such a positive way. Do we think on that? Do we rise up and do we praise God for who he is? He is God. He is our God. Do we think about that? Do we praise him? Is a fort in the forefront of our thinking? Is this something that we really do? Again, we're answering these and looking at these questions in regards to examining the self. Let's go to Psalm 100 in verse 4. Psalm 100 in verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. What is he talking about his gates? The city of Jerusalem? Yeah, in the context it could have been referring to that, but it's also, today it's the church. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Do we do these things? Remember, this sermon is about self-examination. When we come into the presence of God, when we come into his gates, and I'm focusing on as using this, when we come to church, when we come to services, do we give God thanks? What do we talk about? What do we focus on? Do we focus on self? Do we focus on God? We have an opportunity. What do we do? What do? And as we enter into his gates, do we enter him into his gates with praise? Continue on. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we enter into his gates and enter into his courts, is this what we do? Let's go back to Psalm 9 and verse 1. Psalm 9 and verse 1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's something that we got to consider and look at ourselves. Do we do this? Do we do it with our whole heart? Or do we do it half-heartedly? Or do we not do it at all? Well, you know, the dead can do that, not do it at all. Do we do this? Do we praise God with our whole heart? I will show forth your marvelous works. Verse 11. Sing praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. I know I read these verses. I'm reading it again. Now I want to read verse 14. That I may. Okay, so we go back to verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. I will show your great wonders. Verse 11. Well, we'll sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. I will declare this among his doings to his people. In verse 14. So that I may show forth all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. You think this is not talking about within the church? Is it talking about in the church? I will rejoice in your salvation. Do we rise up and praise God? It's a question. David said, can the dead do this? And the answer is no. So who can do this? Only the living. And if you stop and look at it in today's society, in the world in which we live in, who is it that can do this? Those who know God, those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ are the ones who really can do this. We're examining ourselves to ask the question, do I do this? There's a handful of people that actually can do this. Do we? Let's go to Psalm 109 in verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. Oh, so we just saw in Psalm 9 and verse 1 and 11 and 14, putting them all together, and you can read all the verses in between and build more upon it. I just took the verses that actually state what we're looking for, that we see that we will praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, and I will rejoice in your salvation. That's talking to the church. So we see that we are to be doing this within the church. Now in this psalm, Psalm 109 in verse 13, we say that I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. That's everyone else. So we got two serious questions to ask ourselves. Remember, this is all about examining selves. It's not about focusing on these verses of and by itself. It's to focus on self. Are we, as we examine ourselves, do we do these things? Do we praise God within the church? And do we praise God among everybody else? Because that's what these verses are actually telling us. Chapter 111 in verse 1. Praise you the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Again, he's saying, where are we going to do this? This is within the body of Jesus Christ. This is part of within the church. Yes, we see it again. We're going to be doing that. And then Psalm 113 in verse 1. Psalm 113 verse 1. Praise you the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Who are the servants of God? People who have God's Holy Spirit within. Praise you the Lord, praise, O you servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. And so my question is, do we rise up and praise God? Do we? Or are we ashamed to do it publicly? Because all of this in the context is public. I didn't read one verse that says, in my heart I'm going to do this, I'm going to praise you in my heart. It didn't say that. It says, I'm going to do this within the congregation. I'm going to do this among the multitudes. How can you do this if you're not doing it, willing to do it publicly? Do we spend time, yes or no, in praising God among one another? And then once we can get to the place that we can say, well, yes, that's what I do, can we answer the question, yes, I also praise him publicly, even among the multitude? And you go, oh, now that's a little different. It's different because why? Where is the heart? What is the heart? Remember, this is examining self. I realize this could, you know, it could hit some of us in a way and go, whoa, wait a minute, this is a little more than I'm wanting to think about right now. Okay, fine. Think about it during this week. Passover's a week away. Let's move on. Question number 4, going back to David's points that he made back in Psalm 88. Do we praise God for his loving kindness? That's what he says back there in verse 11. Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave? And the answer is no. It can't be declared in the grave. So his implication is, you allow me to continue to live and I'm going to do it. I'm going to praise your loving kindness. Psalm 63 and verse 3. Psalm 63 and verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Would we agree with that statement? As we examine ourselves, can we say, yes, I agree with this statement? The Bible says it, but do we agree with it? Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Is this true in our personal life? Question number 5. This also goes back to verse 11. It says, my question number 5 is, do we rise up and declare God's faithfulness? The second part of the B part to verse 11, it says, or your faithfulness in destruction. Can it be declared there? And the answer is, of course not. Again, it can only be declared among the living. And that would have to be among us. And so we ask, do we rise up and declare God's faithfulness? This word could also be announced. Do we rise up and announce God's faithfulness? Or we affirm, or we pronounce. In other words, we're willing to tell others about it. And then we do. It's not just, I can do it. It's, I do it. That's what this is stating. This is what is being implied from the Hebrew, that I will rise up and declare your faithfulness. It's not just thinking it, believing it, knowing it, it's declaring it, it is announcing it, it is proclaiming it. As opportunities are there, I'm not talking about standing on a street corner, not talking about getting on the buses, not talking about, you know, sitting where somebody is captive and you say, do you know the Lord? Let me tell you about him, I'm going to do this. But as opportunities come up and they arise, how do we respond? How do we respond even with one another in the congregation? Much less, how do we do it out there? And this is what is implied here, rising up and declaring his faithfulness among those out there, because the implication is, of course, we would be doing it here. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful. That's what it says. Now, we believe this or we don't. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands, which how many of us believe this is true and how many of us don't believe it's true, because I know what the answer is. All we would say, well, of course we believe this is true. Okay, that's a good thing. Okay, God is faithful, by whom you were called into or unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, it was because God is faithful that we have been called. Therefore, the question is, do we rise up and declare God's faithfulness? How much are we willing to do in talking to other people? Brethren, because God is faithful, we are to have courage to trust him and to trust his promises. And again, we could go back, I'm not going to incorporate this as part of this sermon, but we could go back to the holy days, to the plan of salvation, and see it all the way through, how awesome this is. That's the promise of God, salvation, and it's declared and it's seen through the holy days. Or we tell somebody, well, I'm not going to be able to work next Tuesday because, well, I've got a personal day and I got something that I got to do that day. Now, maybe that's okay. And maybe that'll work. But what would be wrong in saying, I'm going to keep one of the holy days of God and let them ask you what it's about? Because remember, our question is, are we willing to rise up and declare God's faithfulness? We have been called because God is faithful. Are we willing to declare that God is faithful? And I know these things because of his faithfulness, and I'm basing it upon his word of God. And part of that is showing the sign of salvation and is seen through the holy days, and that's one of those days that I'm going to be gone for. Or here's a slip from my church saying that I need to be off. Are we willing to go in and say, I'm going to be off, and here's the reason why? It's just something that we got to look at. And I know different people react different ways to that. And I understand we handle it in different ways. And I'm not saying that there is a wrong way. The wrong way is not taking off for the holy days. That's a wrong thing. But the how we deal with it is one thing. But then again, is our heart willing to do it this way? Are we willing to? Do we rise up and declare God's faithfulness? And this is a one way of doing it. Because God is faithful, we need to have courage to trust God and to trust his promises. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Who promised? God. Are we faithful back, or are we wavering? He gives us the strength. He gives us the courage. He gives us Jesus Christ in us to do these things. And I'm not saying go out there and declare something to your boss and get yourself in trouble. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's a question as we examine ourselves. Am I willing to stand up and declare God's faithfulness? And one of those points of faithfulness is the holy days. Saying, I'm going to need this day off, you know, I got some personal reasons, that's okay, it's true. But are we declaring God's faithfulness and doing that? Well, you know, the fact that you're taking it off and you keep the holy days, probably. But are we a witness that God is God among the congregation and among the multitudes? We've already seen that. So here is one, do we rise up and declare God's faithfulness? We have opportunities. We have lots of opportunity to do that without wavering. Psalm 36 in verse 5. 36 in verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. In other words, he tells us that it is huge, it is big, it's gigantic. And the point I'm asking here, a question I would ask here is do we believe this and do we trust in God's faithfulness because we know this? And it's a question we got to ask ourselves as we examine ourselves. I read the verse, I believe that your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens and your faithfulness reaches into the clouds. Does it to me? Is it in my mind, in my heart? Yeah, I believe this verse. It states it, and therefore I believe this is a true statement. But do we live this? Do we believe this? Are we willing to declare this? Psalm 119 in verse 90. 119 in verse 90. Your faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides. We think God is not faithful. He's faithful. This shows more the faithfulness of God unto all generations. The earth continues. Every morning that we get up, that the earth continues, God is faithful. It declares it. The earth declares it. Are we willing to declare it with our lives? That's a question. I want you to think about this next statement that I'm going to make. If we live our lives in faith, we will believe God's word and we will live our lives knowing that he is faithful and his promises are sure. Do we believe that? If we live our lives in faith, we will believe God's word. We will believe God's word, and we will live our lives knowing he will fulfill all of his promises. That means we will actively live according to what we see in His holy word. In other words, if we see it in the Bible, we're going to go, that's what it says. We may have to come to the point on some of them to prove it, to come to a real depth of understanding, bring it into our lives. And then once we do that, whatever that is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to actually live according to what we see in God's word? When we get to that place that we will do that, it is then that we can actually judge, and I use this word with knowing what I'm saying, we will judge that God, who delivered His word, is faithful. Go to Hebrews 11 and verse 11, and I will show you this principle in the scripture. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, or she pronounced him faithful, who had promised. We have witnesses in the Bible that shows that there were people who stood up, they did it, and they were able to declare it. And they would declare God's faithfulness because of things that were going on around them, things that were going on in their lives. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do this? Do we do this in our lives? When we are there, when we get to this place that we are willing to judge God or pronounce God is faithful, who has promised, when we get to that place and we can say, yes, this is where I am and this is what I'm doing, therefore we commit ourselves to our Heavenly Father in spite of all the seemingly unfair or even circumstances that are going on around us or in our lives or among our family, among other people. And no one wants evil, you know, circumstances or seemingly unfair situations in our lives. But what if it happened? What do we do then? We will do God's will with the best of the ability that we have. And what do we have? Jesus Christ in us. We want to stop and talk about unfair. They beat him. Tell me what was fair about that. They beat him beyond recognition as a human. What was fair about that? And what was his bottom line attitude? Forgive them. Forgive them because they don't really know what they're doing. And I came to die for them from the foundations of the world, slain from the foundation of the world. He knew what he was doing. He, Jesus Christ, knew what he was doing. Was that fair? What about the fact that they took Peter and John because they're in the synagogue and this man stops and asks him, this is in Acts chapter 5, and he says, would you give me alms? And he says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you is the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the guy gets up and walks, and he's from birth in the womb. It says that this is what the scriptures show us. And it was to declare that God is God. And they were faithful. And so as a result of that, the Sanhedrin and people, they liked this so much, they said, this is an awesome thing. So they took him out and they beat him. Is that fair? So after this happened, they get up and they go back into the synagogue and into the temple, and they praise and preach Jesus Christ even more so. Because we can judge God, pronounce God to be faithful because He has promised. Even if the circumstances seem unfair or there are even evil circumstances that surround us. I would say taking somebody out and beating them because they believe that Jesus is the Christ and they do miracles in the sight of these people, I would consider that evil. That they were beaten for that. Not the declaring it, but the being beaten for it. But what did they do? They continued to do the same thing that they were doing before. They continued to declare that Jesus was the Christ. So as a result of this, Jesus Christ in us, we become to trust our faithful God and Father and Creator that He's going to set all things right in His own time and according to His own purpose in our lives for the time being. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. 1 Peter 4, verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Is that our heart? Or something happens in our lives that we don't like. And, you know, let's call it what it is. Let's say it's unfair, that it is evil circumstances happening. What do we do? Do we blame God? Sometimes there are people who do. Now, where are we? See, I mean, this is what I'm telling it like this so that we can ask ourselves, where am I in these kinds of things? Yeah, bad things happen to good people. How do we respond? There really is only one right way to declare God faithful. God is still God. God is still God. And that is what Peter is telling us here in verse 19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's the key. That's the answer. So we ask, do I make it personal? Do I rise up and declare and pronounce that God is faithful? Continue on with David's thoughts and questions. Number six is, do we make known God's righteousness? We know of them, but do we make them known? Are we willing to talk about them? Are we willing to tell others about it? Let's go to Psalm 99 and verse 4. Psalm 99 and verse 4. The king's strength also loves judgment. You do establish equity, you establish judgment and righteousness in Jacob. God does it. Anything and everything that is considered to be righteous, it's of God. Or do we hold some of that and claim it ourselves? Or do we give it all to God? I want us to go back and ask our two original questions again. Number one, if you died today, what would stop for you? And number two, if you do not die today, what would continue for you? David asked God to allow him to remain alive so that these points, these things from Psalm 88 that we dealt with, that we saw, would continue. And so, brethren, the question is, and the thought that we need to have is as we examine ourselves, do we do these things? Would we ask for these things? Do we even do them? And we are alive. So I have a couple of other questions as we examine ourselves. Number one, do these things exist now in our life? In other words, are we doing these things now? Remember, he says, it's a comparison. In the grave, these things can happen, but alive, these things can, and he's asking God to continue because he will continue to do them. So the question as we examine ourselves, are they happening in our lives now? Are they? And the second question is, if they are not, as we continue to live, will they become part of our lives? I want to go through a list of some other questions for us to consider in our self-examination. Am I the salt of the earth? Matthew 5:13. The next one, am I the light to the world? Matthew 5, verse 14. See, the point is we're told that we are. Are we? The next one, do I have a pure attitude and motive? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Is our heart pure? Remember, we're asking these questions to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. The next one is, do I give God the glory for all the righteousness in my life? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do we give all of it, whatever it is, whatever we do and everything in our lives, anything that would might be considered as righteous, do we give it all the glory to God? Do I delight in the law of God rather than endure it? Romans 7. In verse 22, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's within me. Do we do that? Do we have this? The next one, do I consistently seek God's will before I make a significant decision? Or do I just make the decision and whatever it is, whatever it is? And along with that one, do we daily pray, thy will be done? Matthew 6 and verse 10. Do I understand my own carnal nature still struggles against God's way in my life? Romans 7 and verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Do we recognize that that is still there, that is still, that's still a possibility in our lives? And then the next question is, what are you doing about it? Do I trust God or my own heart? Do I trust God or do I trust my own heart? Proverbs 28:26 tells us, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. So you know where God stands if you would answer that question. Do you trust God or do you trust your own heart? And he said, well, I trust my own heart. Well, I didn't call you a fool, but the Word of God does. Is my attitude right with God? Is my attitude right with the brethren? As we examine ourselves, is my attitude right with God? Is my attitude right with the brethren? If it's not, get it right now. Do I daily seek to understand and know God through the Scriptures? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. We could stop right there and say, is this true in my life? Remember, we're examining ourselves. We have it. We have the whole of the Bible, every word of God, so that we can live by it. Do I have it? Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. In our translation day, it would probably be every day, not once in a while, every day. So you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And I've talked to people before, and they said, well, I don't like to study. I don't like to read the Bible. And I went, well, how do you know how to live God's way of life? Well, I just know. And I go, no, you don't just know. No, you don't. Nobody just knows. And it says, and if we observe, then you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, you shall make your way prosperous and then show you have good success. Sometime, God willing, we probably want to talk about what is success. It's probably not what most of us typically think about. Psalm 119 in verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember, the question we're asking ourselves is, do I daily seek to understand and to know God through His Scriptures? 2 Peter 2, verse 15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do I do this? You know, do I do this so that I can know God and I can know His Word so that I can know how to praise God and bless God and tell others, because that's what we've been told that we're to do, and live my life accordingly. Am I easily entreated? Am I wise? Because Proverbs 9 and verse 10 tells us that we can be. It says, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Do we have that? So, brethren, as we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, I hope that this information that we've been seeing today is beneficial to every one of us. So let's examine ourselves and be ready for the Passover. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.